Luke writes in Acts chapter 2, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. We're talking about needing each other. We're talking about community. We're talking about the community of faith, the church, the body of Christ being part of our spiritual lives. Accountability, holding each other accountable. Yes, we are to hold each other accountable. You hold me accountable to the duties of being a pastor, preacher, teacher, so forth and so on. I hold the people of God accountable for their prayer lives and for their study lives and for being in worship and whatnot, because that's part of holding each other accountable in the spirit of Christian love. And that has to be said, because we're supposed to love each other and to watch over one another in love. We're together because there is fellowship with God's people. That's why we have small groups. That is why we have other Christians to help us. That is why we have encouragers, people who encourage and pray for and cheer on and help those who have fallen into temptation, have fallen into sin, to come alongside them, to help them and encourage them. How many times have you heard people say, well, I can be a Christian without going to church? Well, there's some truth to that. Because remember, to be a Christian is to what? To be in a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus also said, go and make disciples. Jesus also said, do not forsake the gathering together. Not Jesus, but the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. What do you think Pentecost was all about? To bring God's people together. Even Jesus needed community. He had 12 guys following him around, along with many, many others. The other thing we need is the community of faith, the church. Not that our hope is in the church. Our hope is not in the church. Our hope is not in a pastor or a preacher or any human being or any human-made thing. But the church is an important part of who we are to live a balanced Christian life. Jesus is the bread of life, but he's not the whole meal. Any more than bread makes up your dinner table. Second thing is that we can be spiritually malnourished if we don't eat any of the bread of life. This is just the opposite. There's a lot of spirituality out there. A lot of spirituality that does not have Christ at its center. And yet, it sounds awfully good. It sounds awfully wonderful. But if it's not about Christ, then it's like a carb-free diet. You know what? Anybody ever been on Atkins, or I want to admit being on the Atkins diet? What do you do without? Carbohydrates. Listen to what I know. We have some. I know Dave Robinson's here today. We have bicyclists here, folks that ride a lot of bicycle. Listen to what Stan Purdom, who's written two books on bicycling, says about the Atkins diet. From the first push on the pedals, I noticed that I felt drained. In fact, in the first mile of this ride, I felt the way I normally feel at the end of a 50-mile ride. Nonetheless, I persevered, thinking my energy might kick in. But after about 3 miles, riding seemed to be a terrible idea, and I took a direct path home, logging a total of less than 5 miles for the entire excursion. To use a car metaphor, I felt as if I were hitting on only 2 cylinders instead of 8. I had similar experiences on 2 more rides I tried during that diet. Long rides were out of the question, or even short ones were difficult. I soon gave Dr. Atkins the boot. Because there was no energy. There were no carbohydrates, those sugars that kick in to give you sustenance. Now, I know that, you know, it's a good diet for some people, and I'm not here to knock Dr. Atkins or whatnot. My point is that unless there is substance, Like many religions, many faiths, much spirituality is without Jesus at its core. There's a lot of faith out there that focuses on humanitarianism. There are faiths out there that focus on love, 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 love. And the ecology. And that's all wonderful and nice. We need to be concerned about all those things. But the most basic and important human longings, needs of human beings, are met in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus is the foundation of a truly, truly Christian life. To be a real Christian, we need to know Jesus. To be a real Christian is to know that Jesus is the main course. And finally, many people today feed on junk food rather than real bread. I don't think I need to tell you about junk food. We all eat junk food from time to time. You know what I'm talking about, those empty calories, sugar and fat and sweets and salt and all those things. They're empty calories. They give us a boost. They give us quick energy, but they lead to a fast burnout with no nutritional value. What do we mean by spiritual junk food? Well, you know, a lot of people give a lot of good lip service to Christianity. They claim to be Christians. They don't walk the talk, in other words. They look good on the outside. They wear the label, but their spiritual lives do not reflect the wholesome good things that are involved in a Christian life, like the means of grace. Scripture tells us that God has provided the means of grace, means by which we can stay fed and stay nourished upon the bread of life. What do we mean by the means of grace? That was a term coined by John Wesley. The means of grace are things essential, foundational to our faith, and they are, of course, things like prayer, things like reading the Bible, things like celebrating the Lord's Supper regularly, things like doing good deeds for others, for the church, for the others, for the community, serving in some way, tithing, giving God a proportion of what we earn. All these things are ways in which God has given us to stay connected in real, viable, healthy ways with God. If we're not practicing those, then it's like eating pizza every night for dinner or donuts for breakfast. We're not being fed with nutritious things from God's table. The means or grace are those things that we can do to stay continually nourished by the bread of life. There's a phrase in the Lord's Prayer that we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." What is our daily bread? The prayer is for God to provide for our needs, yes, but it is also to give us that spiritual bread, that bread of life, Jesus, our hope, our all in all. Yes, Jesus is all we need for eternal life, for salvation. Our hope is in Jesus and Jesus alone. But Jesus is not all we need, and I hope I've made that abundantly clear today. We need each other too. We need God's people. We need the church. We need the fellowship. We need the accountability. We also need to stay connected to God in ways that feed us and help us to feed upon that bread that is so precious and so important to our lives. Jesus is that bread of life. Jesus may not be all that we need, but we better not try to do without Jesus either. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He is the bread of life. He is the good shepherd and all those wonderful things. And he is our rock and our fortress. our mighty help in time of need. And Lord, He is our salvation that You have provided. But Lord, we also know that to be people of God, to live the Christian life, to be vibrant, to be fruitful, to be useful to You, we need You and the church together, working together. We need other people. We need other Christians in community, praying and supporting and cheering each other on. And Lord, we need those ways that You have provided for us to stay connected to You in vital ways. Lord, we love You so much, and we thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the church. Thank You for the means of grace. And all these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Joyce?